Things to remember. Praise God. Take your Bible. Let's make a confession before the Lord this morning. Amen. This is my Bible. It's God's word to me. And I believe all of it. From Genesis to maps. And I'll receive absolutely everything God has for me today. In Jesus' name. Be excited. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think Joel stole that from me. I was doing it first, I think. I'll call him up and let him know. Romans chapter 12. Praise you, Lord. I love when the Holy Spirit's developing a message in you. Sometimes, you know, the Lord has a sense of humor, and the Lord works in the way he wants to, and we do our best to follow. Sometimes a message is kind of rolling and building for a time period, and you see it coming, and you're enjoying it along the way. Sometimes it's right then. All right, God says, now's the time. You know, I've told you a lot of times, brushing my teeth on Sunday morning, sometimes that's when the finalization comes, or sometimes even the beginning. But I've been thinking about this all last week, and the title is Information, Application, Transformation. And I think that that's such a, these are such bottom line principles that we really have to get a hold of that, because what we want to do is we want to get to this place of transformation. So let's read Romans 12, 1 and 2. In fact, let's read it together, because most of your translations should be pretty close here. Romans 12, verse 1. Is everybody there? Yep. All right. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise God. Amen. Be transformed. J.B. Phillips' translation says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. Confirmation is a temporary thing, but transformation is going to be a permanent thing, although it is also a progressive thing. Permanent but progressive. We should be making progress, and as we're transformed in an area, we should be able to build on that and go on from there. The other thing is that transformation is the thing that God does. The information, the application parts are a lot of our responsibility. But as we're doing that, then we put it in a place where God can do what he does. And the transformation happens by two entities. It happens by the Word of God, and it happens by the Spirit of God. And when you put those together, it's like, you know, you get the right chemicals together and there's explosion. There's an explosion that happens in us. And I think that we all want transformation. Don't we? Amen. And it's not just that makes our life better and so on. According to, I think it's out of Vines, transform means to undergo a complete change, which under the power of God will find expression in character and conduct. Changes our character, excuse me, and our conduct. Have I coughed up? Please. So this, and then, you know, in the process of doing that, what's going to happen is healings are going to come to pass. You know, the things that we really need in our life are going to begin to manifest, but the process is here. So information, application, then would be the pathway to transformation, and we've got to get involved in the process. You know, some things work, but they have to be worked. If we don't get in there and start to work it, the word works. But sometimes we haven't worked it. Sometimes we didn't know. But it's really in this, particularly as we live in these United States of America, there's no real excuse for not being able to get the information and then begin to apply that information and move on from there. Really, if you think about it, this is the process that in which we got born again. We needed information. I don't know at what age you were born again. I was very young for me, so I can't really look back and see the whole process, but somebody is a teenager, 10 or 20s, 30s, come to the place of somewhere along the line, somebody gives them some information, and they take that information and apply it to their lives, and then there's a transformation that happens on the inside. Up to that point, either they didn't know the information or they rejected the information, but when they take the information and apply the information, transformation is going to happen. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to go out here, but that transformation, becoming a new person in Christ Jesus, was immediate. That wasn't progressive. That was bang, it was done. And we were, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we were new creatures in Christ Jesus, just like that. So the same principle, and it's interesting that it works that way in just about everything, but the same principles work all the way along the way to make what God's always wanted to have come pass in our lives work. If you think about it, I was just thinking about even if you want to have fire, you've got to have fuel, you've got to have a spark, and you've got to have oxygen. And it's always going to be that way. If you need a fire in your fireplace, then it works that way. If you need a fire, you're camping out somewhere, it works that way. Whatever, wherever you go, those entities have to be there in order for it to work. So it's the same way with these things. Information, application is going to lead to transformation. And I want to talk especially about the information part this morning. Just as far as understanding the words, I looked up in the dictionary information, knowledge communicated or received concerning a particular fact or circumstance, knowledge gained through study, communication, research. You could even say in our modern vernacular with computers and all that, data. Input, I suppose, all those kind of things would be there that you have something to work with. You've received it in. Now, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I hope that we can treat this as if it's not just something that we've heard before, because it's being put together in a little different way, but I want to help us to progress. I want to feel like we're making progress somewhere, that we've got momentum going, and this, I believe, will help us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Amplified Bible. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and is profitable for instruction, or we could say information, for reproof and conviction of sin. For correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will and thought, purpose, and in action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, every scripture is God-breathed, it has God's life in it, and it is profitable, advantageous, and the root meaning of that means to heap up, to accumulate, or benefit. So you could say that the information that the Word of God brings is brings great potential into our lives. Now, you almost get sometimes so you don't like the word potential because you hear so much about, well, he has great potential, but they don't do anything. But that's what I want to get across to us. Just because we have the information and the potential, if there's no application, there's still not going to be any transformation. But we do have to get the information. There's no way to apply knowledge that you don't have. And it is available to us. The word instruction there in the New King James would say is profitable for doctrine. It means to impart instruction, or you could say dole out information. So, and it's the basis for the word teach or teacher. So it's profitable because there's information there that'll help us, whether it's taught to us directly from a teacher or by the Holy Spirit, or by us getting the Word of God out for ourselves and studying it. There's information that's going to come that's going to bring great potential to our lives if we take that information and then apply it to our lives for a transformation. Amen. All right, go to the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 4. One of my favorite passages in Proverbs 4, verse 20 to 22. Praise Jesus. Solomon says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." I was thinking about that verse this morning. I thought, they're life to those that find them. There's nothing real technical about the word find. It's just, you know, you look for something, you find it. You have to want to find it. And when you want to find it, you find it. And then when you have that information, it has the potential to bring life. It's actually the word, and for the word for health could be medicine to all our flesh. But you have to find them. The whole, I guess, one of the things that we've probably shared more than in the last 34 years than anything else is get your Bible out and read it. Don't just take my word for anything. Don't take Brother Copeland's word for anything. Just anything. Joyce Meyer, doesn't matter who. how much you honor them and know that they're good teachers of the Word of God, you still have to get the Bible out for yourself and want to find the information so you can apply it and have a transformation in your life. I know that there are, you know, things I've heard somebody else say, and it was really good, and it helped my life. But when I got in there and studied out for myself and got that and dug that revelation out for myself, that revelation, that information, it's hard for the devil to steal that. Almost impossible. When you looked in there and said, well, look at what that means. And then you saw another scripture that backed that up, and you had good information to work with. 1 Corinthians, New Testament, chapter 8. Thank God for the information.
Amen.
Thank God for the information that's available to us. In some countries, boy, they would do almost anything to have Bibles, to have the information available to them that we have. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. I'm trying to get you to think, I've got to get the knowledge, but just having the knowledge in itself is not going to be enough. You said we've known people that had knowledge of the Word of God and memorized a lot of Scripture, and yet their life did not in any way show any transformation. Transformation does happen on the inside, but it should show on the outside, given some time. Amen? And if we don't get to that point, then something in the whole process has not happened. Either there's no information, or there's no applying the information to get to the transformation. I'm going to say this enough that you're going to start thinking information, application, transformation. Praise God. Now, the word knowledge is used so much in the Greek, in gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, and it applies chiefly to the apprehension of truths. You find something that's true and you apply that, you get a hold of it for you. Again, it's not enough that Kenneth Copeland might have this understanding of truth. Gloria Copeland's a great teacher of the Word of God, and she understands some truth. Daily devotional stuff on computer for people that have some knowledge of truth. But until I learn from their knowledge and take the knowledge in and make it mine, then I really still have nothing to apply. It doesn't work, if you think about it this way. It doesn't work to say, well, that's what Kenneth Copeland said, if I'm faced with something where I need a transformation in my life.
Yeah.
Remember the seven sons of Sceva?
Yeah.
Devil, you got to leave in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches.
Right.
And they said, we know Paul, we know Jesus, you heard of Paul, who are you? So it's not the revelation or the information somebody else received, but the information that I'm receiving. That's why it's so important to be in the Word on a daily basis. I'm having a good time with my mom. I call her every week on the phone. She's living by herself in an adult assisted home. And I've told different ones of you, She really, when she's got a lot of manifestation of the disease. She believed for healing just like I am, praise God. But when she began to not be able to do things because she was always doing everything for everybody else, when she couldn't do that, that was really tough on her. And she started saying, I want to die, don't want to live any longer. And she came up and said to have open heart surgery, and she told us afterwards, she was really thinking, I'm going to have that open heart surgery and I'm going to just go home to be with the Lord. I'm not going to wake up here. I'm going to be, and she was totally at ease with that. That would be a wonderful thing to her. And was she really surprised when she woke back up again? And so, and as you know, as three kids are thinking, my goodness, where's she going to go now? But she didn't go down. She said, she looked at the situation. She said, I'm still here. I must be here for a purpose.
Amen.
And she started seeking God for what that purpose would be. And the Lord has called her to pray. Her sister, my Aunt Bobby, who's now in heaven, was the prayer warrior in the family, so it's kind of like mom is taking up the gauntlet, and she's going to take it on from there. And she just has decided now, if she's going to be a prayer warrior, I don't know how this all tied together in her mind, but I'm looking at it, and she's telling me, we bought her a Kindle Fire. I'm her technical advisor. So you can imagine how technical she is. And she's really neat because I tell her, you get in there and here's how you find the scripture and that, now you can highlight it. And she giggles and everything. She's really excited about this Kindle thing. But she now is working on the second time through the whole Bible. She's so excited about being in the Word. And she has, the different translations right there. The nice thing for us is we don't have to try to mess around with pages and things. Just flick of your finger and you're on to the next page and so on. But she is so excited about the Word. And my mom taught Sunday school, been a Christian all my life. But then all of a sudden, there's a love for the Word that she wants to start from the beginning and go through and start over again. And it should be there. I think that potential is in all of us. Get back to that place again. Knowledge. The root word for knowledge is a knowledge grounded on personal experience. I was thinking about that, and I think there's a positive and a negative to that. Because on the positive side, God wants us to not just know His Word, He wants us to experience His Word. But I think on the negative side is we have experienced some things that aren't from the Word of God, some knowledge that of this world, and it's when you've received that kind of knowledge, it's a battle to let go of that and pick up this new stuff that contradicts what you've been, that the experience that you've had up to this point. Experience tells me that whatever. How can I illustrate that? You know, when Diane was bugging me about drinking more water, just my experience said, if you put water in, it's going to want to come back out, you know, those kind of things. then you know, my experience said, well, I don't see where it would really make any difference, and when I'm thirsty, I'll drink. But somebody was very persuasive about that and got me to the point of trying that, and, you know, I could see the difference of drinking enough every day to work in your system. There are things that we have, either we haven't had the kind of experience that we need, or we've had an experience that seems to be opposite of what this information that we're receiving now, and there needs to be a change. Well, there needs to be a transformation. Amen. To get over to that place where we let go of that and grab a hold of this.
Amen.
And it starts with our will, I think. Amen. Be willing to do that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe my experience isn't right. Maybe what I've been living out all this time is not quite there. We've had to face, some of us who've been in ministry for a long time, some of the things that we taught weren't quite right. And it was not that we were trying to deceive anybody. We just were doing the best that we had with the knowledge that we had at the time, walking through the life of, like everybody else. But you have to be big enough to look back and say, you know, that wasn't quite right. There are things that we need to experience. But we don't want to hold so much on to past experience that we can't come to the place of going on in God. Knowledge puffs up, to puff up, to inflate, to blow up, to cause to swell up, to make proud, to rear oneself loftily. You know, and some people that would be very clear. That's just the way that they are. But all of us probably have these areas where we, let's be honest, we're puffed up. I know. You can't tell me. Don't look at me like that. Halos go up, it's not me. All of us have those areas. That nobody's going to tell me, including God Himself. I mean, in some cases in the Bible, God showed up and they still hung on to what they thought they knew. When you're faced with something in the Word of God that contradicts what your experience has been, you better give in to what the Word says. And that's, if we don't, what we're saying is, oh, I know. And then we should be able to, you know, you think about this clearly, we should be able to look at our life and say, well, I must need something here because everything's not quite like it's supposed to be. And let's see, now God's doing pretty good. Maybe I need to change. But we don't usually use that kind of logic when it comes to these kind of things. Go to Mark chapter 4. Parable of the sower apparently is a very important, if not the most important, parable that Jesus gave. And I think that it relates to what we're talking about this morning. We've taught on this, Diane's taught on this, but let's look at it like we're looking at it for the first time and think, considering there's information that we've got to get. And it has to be found. It has to be procured, all right? Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 13. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones that by the wayside, where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, these are the ones sown on thorn, among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on the lampstand? For there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. The tense there is continue to hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it'll be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. And whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. All right, now let's take a look at that in one instant at a time. First, we come to the seed that was sown on the wayside, as the New King James says, defined as a well-traveled path, a road. And metaphorically, it deals with a course of conduct, a way of thinking, feeling, and deciding. And the seed, in this case, does not get into the ground and is immediately stolen. Didn't have any effect at all, no positive effect at all. It's gone. Amen? And it's because of that hardness. It actually is really a lot like what we just read in 1 Corinthians 8. Puffed up. Nobody's going to tell me. I'm not going to change. You know, how can I put this? We've all had certain successes in our lives in certain ways, and we have probably decided how we had that success. And when something comes along and said, well, you could have better success if you didn't go that way, but you went this way, it's hard to let go of what we think has caused some success in our life. For example, some of you were trained up with a good work ethic. You know, your parents taught you to work hard. Working hard is a good thing. Not being idle, not being lazy. And so just by hard work, some people had come to the place where they got the house and they got the car and life is pretty good, the bills are paid and all those kind of things. But that in itself, that knowledge in itself of just working hard, there are going to be things in life that it won't get you through. Working hard won't get you through cancer. Working hard won't get you through, you know, losing a loved one, or there's a lot of emotional and those kind of things that won't just grit your teeth and you'll get through, but you won't get through the way God wants you to, just because this is the path that I've learned to go and I'm going to go this way and nobody's going to tell me different. Well, there might be something different. Don't give up the ethic of the hard work, but be willing to take in some other knowledge. Don't be so hard-hearted that you can't take in some other knowledge to let your life come to the place where you understand something, you can apply, and then have some transformation in your life. All right. Next area is the area of stony ground. It's one word in the Greek, just means a ground full of rocks. I said because it's a lot of dealing with the soul, it's kind of like, you know, talk about hard-headed. Rocks in our brain. And the thing of it is, if you can picture that, I think, if you've had a garden or anything like that, but it can look good on the surface and not be very good when there's an attempt to penetrate into the ground. Because I've been involved in some cases where the rocks had to be picked. There's not going to be a garden here until somebody does the hard work of getting out there and digging up those rocks and pulling them all out of there. Immediately there was some good that came out of it, as it worded here. Immediately receive it with gladness, and they had no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Something right away, I got some knowledge here, and I'm happy about that, but it has to get deeper than surface. Got to really accept it on a deeper level. Rocks can be things that just hinder hearing. They hinder receiving the knowledge. When I first heard it sounded good, but now I'm not so sure. Because the rock, it runs up against a rock. It runs up against a hindrance. It runs up against probably another way of thinking that's been developed in the past. that keeps from going on. Could be unforgiveness. Could be poor self-image. A lot of that. Diane's been sharing a lot of with self-sabotage. People that have this image in themselves begin to have some knowledge that takes them somewhere, and they sabotage themselves because there's an inner voice that says, well, you can't succeed. You're not worthy of succeeding. So there's a rock that has to be removed. Amen?
Amen.
I've seen people that can get one great job after another and lose every one of them.
Yeah.
Something's wrong there.
Yes.
They have some probably God-given abilities that get them to these places, but they can't stay there because of this unstableness on the inside of them. Sometimes it's like, I've heard this illustration before, it's like a survival kit. We've been hurt in the past, so we've learned to put up a wall in a certain way so we don't get hurt that way again. But the same thing that we use to protect ourselves from getting hurt also keeps God from penetrating in to heal us up too. And we have to be willing to open up a little bit and let God in. The two areas that it talks about where the rocks come from is afterward when tribulation and persecution arise for the word's sake. Not where the rocks come from, but where the trouble comes from the outside. Tribulation just means pressure. You all have lived long enough to know that life is going to, there are going to be pressure times.
Amen.
If you're a multimillionaire, you're still going to have pressure times. You've never been sick a day in your life, you're still going to have pressure times.
Amen.
And when pressure comes and there's knowledge that tried to penetrate to your life but it hasn't got beyond these rocks, it's not going to be enough to have an application to bring you to the place of transformation. And then persecution. It's usually not, for us, it's usually not to the extent that we hear about in other countries. Persecution literally means, from the root, is to cause to run or flee. Something that you got to get out of here, got to leave, you can't stay around, you got to move on. And sometimes it's time to just abide and stay. And stay with it until you really make it a part of yourself. Some knowledge seems like you can just hear it and get it and apply it and move on. Sometimes you have to hear it and hear it and hear it some more. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word of God. When I grew up in church, we believed in healing, as I've shared before, but we believed that God healed when He wanted to, not when we wanted Him to. We didn't believe that God always healed. And so that was really ingrained in me. And so when the tapes came along from Kenneth Copeland and Brother Hagin and so on, and they were saying, I had to hear that, and then hear that, and hear that, and then start to look at it from myself a little bit and say, is this just something that Kenneth Copeland came up with, or is this really the Word of God? And hear it some more to the place where, you know, you almost wanted to run and flee because it was easier to blame it on God.
Yeah.
I'm just sick because I guess God wants me this way for some reason that I don't understand. And I'll just be a good Christian anyway and live for Him. Poor old me. I'm living by faith. And it was the same thing with prosperity. Everything else. Easier to blame it either on God or on the devil. Instead of take it back on me and say, well, maybe there's something I don't know that I need to know, that I'm going to know, and I'm going to apply, and I have a transformation in my life. All right, it goes on to talk about thorns. Here's what one of the books says, Smith Bible Dictionary. Giant thistles, growing to the height of a man on horseback, frequently spread over regions once rich and fruitful, and many of the most interesting historical spots and ruins are rendered almost inaccessible by thickets and fiercely armed buckthorns. It was an area that once was pristine, no weeds, no thorns, and now it's not just, you know, you see these little green spots growing up. It's not that. Now it's to the height of a man on horseback, where it gets to be hard to even ride through there. Obviously, something's been messed up here. Nobody showed up to help Bob do the weeding. Weeding's not fun. It was one of the few things that my grandfather actually offered us grandkids to pay us for, is to weed. I think it was so many pennies per row. Things have changed. not fun. But it's almost like, you know, weeds go, and the plants are a little slowly coming along the way. So here's the specific areas that it talks about. Cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and desires for other things. Cares of this world, it's not the word for, it's not cosmos, it's the word aeon, it's for this age. The cares that are associated with the time that we live right now will become thorns. Kill off, they'll take all the nourishment that should have gone to the process of knowledge application and transformation, and all the energy that should have gone into that is all pulled off by something that has no power to help you at all. What about the economy? What about who's going to be president next? What about the president now? What's he going to do? And in this age of information, you know what was this last trial in Texas? Is that where it was? Yeah, Florida. You know, we immediately know what happened in a trial 1,500 miles away. All this information being piled on you, and if it's received in the wrong way, it becomes the cares of this world. Yes. Where's a war going to break out next? Well, if you've got anybody involved in military, what's going on with them? It wouldn't be hard to try to come up with some things that can very quickly become the cares of this world. Got children? Got milk? No, got whatever it happened. You have a car, you know. What's that noise? I didn't remember hearing that noise before. You got a house. Whatever it happens to be, it can have cares associated with it, and they can become weeds. They can become thorns. They can keep you from receiving the information that you need to receive so you can apply it to your life.
Amen.
And have transformation in your life. You almost need to see it as a real battleground. Not like, I get to it when I have time. Certain things, you know, when it comes to your house or car, whatever, they got to be done. They're not done. You're going to have serious problems. Well, our life is like that too. Remember the old commercial, pay me now or pay me later? It's easier to pay now. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's just, we've got to take a look at, the Bible says, take heed to yourself. What is it that weighs me down? And you know what we can learn to do in the process here is what Diane's been sharing before every service. Man, I'm sending that away. I'm not going to sit here and worry about that. And there's a part of our mind that's become attached to it that it doesn't want to let go, but we have to, you were in the Amplified this morning, I think it didn't say strip it off. This sounds like a forceful thing. Nope, you've got to get out of here. I'm not going to sit here and worry about that. And instead of that, I'm going to put on peace, contentment, and joy. Joy of the Lord's my strength. Praise God. Cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, literally the seduction of things. Always like to have things. Diane and I were driving down this morning, and from the right side, this guy pulls out of his driveway, not too far ahead of us, far enough that we weren't going to hit him or anything, but he's got pretty much a brand new, bright red tan top Corvette. Man. You're trying to get in my head this morning. I don't know what does, but when I see, if I saw an old Corvette, that would be the same thing. It's like, wow, I'd like to drive one of those someday. Just, you know, but it's just a thing in the long run. It's just so much fiberglass and all that kind of stuff. But the thing of it is, those things can very easily get in the wrong place, and then you're so focused on that you lose sight of this information that you need. I've seen people believe God for something, and Him blessed them with that thing, and then that thing gets them, and pretty soon, you know, they don't fellowship anymore. They don't have time to read the Bible anymore. The thing has got them, and then now the information's taken its way in the back somewhere. And the process can't happen because the information got cut off, so there's nothing to apply. Does it make any sense to you at all?
Yes.
I mean, it could be anything. You could put a name on anything, any noun, somehow, a person even could get in there somewhere, a relationship that could be good, but it's gone beyond being good. Amen? Could get in that place where it's keeping us from, keeping the energy that should be coming to us to do this process. You just don't have any energy to do that because so much is spent on this other thing. And the desire for other things. Strong desires, especially for forbidden things. Especially for forbidden things. There's a Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us who are born again children of God, and he's in there trying to say, no, you don't want to be meditating in that direction. Somebody else, somebody else's wife or husband or their thing, whatever it happens to be, is not yours. Doesn't belong to you. But, you know, I think a lot of even Christians think, well, I'm just innocently, you know, imagining and that kind of stuff, but there's a danger there because it becomes the thorn, and the energy that's spent on that is lost energy that could be spent on something that's going to produce some good stuff in our life.
Amen.
Good ground, verse 20. Obviously, these are people that are dealing with the blockages and the wrong desires and continuing to hear. Good ground. It's not just this ground was that way and there's nothing can be done about it, and this ground was that way and there was nothing could be done about it, and then there's some that's good ground and that's wish we'd have been born that way. This is what it's saying is you can deal with the rocks. You can deal with the hardness of heart in the wayside. You can deal with the thorns. You can become good ground so that you can receive information that you can apply to your life and have transformations in your life. And even that is more progressive because it's 60, it's a 30, 60, and 100-fold. And obviously we want to get to 100-fold, which is not just 100 times, but as much as it's possible for that to produce in our lives. All gets back to based upon, can we get the information? Can we find the information? Can we grab all the information and make it part of us and then begin to apply that to our lives so that there's a change? Verse 24, he said to them, take heed what you hear. Because if you're continuing to feed on information that's not going to help you come to a place of having a transformation that God wants to give, then that's space taken for the wrong things. I've said before, you can't afford to turn on Christian radio and just listen to it all day. Because not everything that you're going to hear is going to be information that's going to help you to apply to come to a place of transformation. My experience has been in the past, this guy will say you can, this guy will say you can't, this guy said you never could. And after all, you're just confused. You have to watch where you're receiving your information from. Now, you can hear sometimes something you disagree with, and if you can keep that in perspective, you can read, we read things that we don't agree with. You're not going to totally agree with everything, but if you feed on something that just is the wrong information, obviously it's going to put you to, you're going to do some applying and you're going to get a transformation in the wrong direction. Amen? You're going to go the wrong way. You've got to watch where that information is coming from. I mean, you can't, but people will say, well, you know, the news really brings me down. Well, don't watch it. Don't listen to it. We have to be the watchman over our own heart and see what comes in and what doesn't. Because when it's in there out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, the information comes, and there's junk in, there's a garbage in, garbage out.
Right.
To watch for those things. It says over in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, take heed how you hear. Not just what you hear, but how you hear. How you measure what you hear. Well, that could never work for me. See, that's problem. There's the problem with the rocks and everything again. That's good for them, but that would never work for me. If it's from God, it'll work for you. You know, you might say this morning, Doreen gave that testimony about sharing with the guy and getting born again. Well, I could never do that. Sure you could. Amen? And it's not about, you don't have to grab them by the collar and say you need to get born again. The Lord will set up opportunities for you to share with people that really aren't that hard, especially when they say, you know, when they begin to open up and have some questions and things like that, And your mouth will open and you'll have the right information on the inside to bring forth to them and help them out. You might just plant some seed. You might get to harvest like Doreen did. But it's important that we're involved in the process somewhere. You don't have to be sick. God loves you. Our message of reconciliation is God is not mad at you. He's not holding your sins against you. That's not what's keeping you from God. Only one thing. You just got to believe on Jesus. Amen? Take heed how you hear, what you hear. And then at verse 25, whoever has to him will be given, more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Somebody gave me a book years ago, an agnostic, and it was about the mistakes of Jesus, and this is one of the things that were listed. Well, what's he saying there? A person doesn't have much of anything, God's taking that away from him now. Well, obviously a little deeper than that. That's not the information that Jesus was trying to convey. More will be given to him who has ears to hear. If you continue to hear, you'll get more. If you stop hearing, if you stop imbibing in information, you're going to lose even what you have. What is the use it or lose it? Amen? So if you don't keep hearing, it's not faith as comes by having heard. What information are you getting now? See, we go back and read some of the same books again. We get new books. We continue to read the Word of God. We continue to listen to CDs. We continue to hear sermons. We've got great information available to us, but you got to continue to hear. If it's not working yet, maybe you haven't really apprehended the information, and you got to keep hearing until you really get a hold of it and make it part of you. Amen? Let me use an illustration. Three groups of students facing a test. First group refuses to study at all and fails. Just, I can't. Just more, I can't understand this. And fails. Never even tried to hear. Second group cram for the test, and they pass it, but they never really learned anything. Anybody relate to that? I see this fine. I learned how to take tests. I taught myself how to take tests, I guess. So, and I used to get through. My dad had an expression, by the skin of my teeth. Sometimes the teeth didn't have any skin on them, though, and catch up to you. But you know, a lot of tests were. How many are any of you students still? How many students still in school now? Okay, put your hands over your ears. Most of the tests were multiple choice. So, you know, probably one of them is just totally not even close. Should I be telling you this? And, you know, and then, you know, one of them's probably not really. So it usually comes down to like two. And then you start saying, well, there's been a lot of C's already. I think maybe it's time for a B here. But you take tests that way, you haven't learned anything. You haven't really received the information. And we take life's tests that way, in the sense that, when things are really difficult, I'm going to see if I can hear. When I'm totally underneath the thing, I'm going to, man, I better do some hearing here quick. Better get some information. And, pardon me? Doesn't work. Sometimes God has rescued us. You know, sometimes there's a transformation without the process because God is just a good God and he rescued us. Thank God for all those times. But that doesn't continue to work that way. And when we try to get through life by every time things get really bad, well, boy, where's my Bible? Better get that thing out and see what God has to say here. Better get back to church. It's going to catch up with us. This process of information, application, transformation needs to be taking place all the time on a regular basis. As you sit here this morning, you've got some places in your life that already had some transformation. Thank God. Amen. But there's more. There's more to be done. More to be done. So, we need the information just like a fire needs the fuel, but it's not an end into itself. That's where we're going to go on from here. I'm going to stop here, but when you start to get the information, then there comes a place where you have to have some application if we're going to get a transformation. I hope that this will light up in your life this week and you'll think about it a lot. Yes, ma'am.
You know, and like it says on the side of the bus, I write information application.
I. There you go. Yes. Amen. It's one of these things that's just going to be this way. It's like the multiplication tables. Say, I don't like 3 times 3 equals 9, but it does still. So, you know, might as well get with the program and work it God's way and get his information. Stop hearing the wrong things. Start hearing the right things. And get to that place of transformation. This church is going to experience transformation. This church is going to experience transformation.
Amen.
Praise God. God didn't bring us this far to have us just sit here and occupy the seats. God's here, praise God. Good things are in store. So let's give him room to operate by getting the information. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.